Praise the Lord. Thank you for that warm welcome. And you know, worship was so powerful. I needed that tonight. I told Ryan, I said, I need it tonight, man. Bring it, man. The Holy Spirit brought it, right? We had a powerful time of worship together. Pastor Marty texted me while I was driving over here. He said, we won't be there. We're on Miami Beach. And I was like, do you need a guest speaker out there? I mean, hook me up. What's up? It's good to be here. I'm with my daughter, Leilani, who's with me here today. And the whole time, she just kept elbowing me during worship, just saying, Dad, look at the bass. Look at the bass. She's a bass player. Where's the bass player? Where'd he go? He ran out. You got to tell him. We love that bass. You wanted to look at it more. But anyway, it's good to be here. We have a word we want to share with you tonight. God is always active. God is always involved. I love the series you're going to be sharing. What next? What's next? I love that. That's what I'm going to be talking with you about tonight. We're going to talk about what's next. We're going to talk about what God has in store for you. We're going to talk about looking ahead, which is one of the things that we get to do when we serve the Lord. We get the privilege through the Holy Spirit to look ahead to see what God has in store for us. So, Father, I thank you for what you've done here so far, and I thank you for the word that you're about to release in this place. Prepare the hearts to hear what you have in store for them. I thank you for every brother, every sister, every person in this place. You know the journey that they've had this season, and you know what they need to hear. So, Father, we just release your word in this place. We take authority over any spirit that would try to distract, and in Jesus' name, we just declare an open heaven, and we all say amen. I want to talk to you tonight about 2019 prophetic perspectives. Looking ahead for 2019, I think one of the beautiful things that we have as we serve the Lord is that we serve a God who communicates. Can I get an amen on that? People talking to rocks and trees all around the world, never getting the answers they need because everyone is looking to know, is there a God out there? Does he know who I am? Does he have a plan for me? Does he have something in store for me? I got good news for you tonight. God has something in store for you. And yes, he knows who you are. He knows everything about you. There's a scripture that says he knows every hair that you have on your head. I don't use that scripture much, but it's in the Word. He knows everything about you. And most importantly, you weren't an accident. He has a plan and a purpose. And I want you to know that the God that we serve, he's a personal, in-your-face God. He knows everything about you. He wants to be involved in your life, and God loves to communicate. So if you're here tonight and you're thinking, man, it'd be great if I got a word, I promise you, you've already gotten a word. Man, if God can only give me a word for 2019, you already got a word. Because that's who God is. Many times we don't recognize that he's speaking to us, but God has been speaking to you, I promise. But what we're going to do is tonight we're going to share, I'm going to share with you some prophetic perspectives that will confirm what you've already been hearing. Can we get an amen on that? God loves to talk. He loves to communicate. The scripture says in John 16, starting at verse 5, Jesus saying, I have many more things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Everybody say all truth. He'll guide you into all truth because he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will reveal to you what is to come. You heard me? The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and reveal it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of what's mine and reveals it to you. Jesus, finishing his ministry, had to leave. He says, I have to leave because it's now time for the Holy Spirit to be released upon humanity. So I'm going to get out of the way, but I'm going to send forth the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we recognize from this verse is that the Holy Spirit was sent by God. And when he said he's not going to come to just speak on his own, what he means is, now don't take from that he's not God. Holy Spirit is God. But what he's saying is not just what he's speaking on his own. He's speaking to you from the fellowship, the intimacy that he has with Father and Son. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. From those three in that tight fellowship, that if you offend one, you offend them all. If you hurt one, that's why they're so knit. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you hear from me, you're hearing from the Father. And therefore, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you what is coming forth from you from the mind of God, from the heart of Jesus, and from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It's coming from that communion what the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you. So when we hear from God, we are getting revelation and input from God Almighty, the triune being, communicating to your life the plan and the purpose that he has for you. But we could see there from the verse that the Holy Spirit will give you guidance. How many of you would like some guidance? I mean, isn't that why the world runs to mediums and psychics? They're trying to find out what to do next. But there's a God who knows them. There's a God who speaks. There's a God who communicates. And tonight, that God, your God, is saying to you, I have a plan for you. And I want to set a plan in motion for you for this year so you can continue to accelerate. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what is to come. I love that. I love the fact that God can see what's ahead, that God can speak to me about what's ahead. And you know why he does that? Because we're in relationship with him. He wants you to know. God's not holding back on you. That's what he calls relationship. When you married, when you entered into that marriage covenant with the Lord, and you gave your life to the Lord, that salvation package brought guidance from the Holy Spirit. That belongs to you. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be reconciled with the Father. And what would be normal Christianity is that we are hearing from heaven on a regular basis, and we know which road to take. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal what's to come. Jesus said, he will honor me by showing you what's to come. God is honored when we participate in the revelation of what he has for you. He's honored when it's his delight to show you, here's what I plan to do for you. Here's what I'm working in your life. Prepare your heart. Get ready. Get ready to run, because when the timing is right and I show up in this season of your life, I want you to run with me. Rather than fighting God, we should be, God wants us on the end of what he's doing, so when he shows up, we can just run with him. It glorifies Jesus for revelation to be given to us, because you know what? That's intimacy. A husband and a wife, they share everything. Intimacy is communicating the things that you're going through, the things that you like to do together. That's intimacy. And that's what we have with the Lord. The Lord's saying, I want to show you what's to come. I want to be intimate with you that way. And I want to reveal everything to you. And I want to prepare you for it so you are in the know. It's relational. Isn't that awesome that we know God, that we're in that type of a relationship with him? And it's also his provision for you. So before I go into 2019 prophetic perspectives, I like to look back sometimes. And We shouldn't look back to miss where we came from, but we should look back to see what God did so we can thank him for it, so we could be grateful. And I like to do that at the conclusion of every year. I start thanking the Lord. And for me, 2018 was the year of running with the horses. I was asking God for momentum. We had shut down our ministry. We launched a new ministry. I said, Lord, we're believing you for momentum. Wow. Did we ever get momentum? My financial controller, we had a meeting, and he said, Hector, let me tell you what you did in 2018 and with the finances that came in. And he began to tell me, you spoke at about 50 events. You provided so many prophetic boot camps. You did this. You did that. I was like, I did all that. And I remember throughout the year, I was actually going to start complaining that I was too busy. I remember mid-sentence, I caught myself saying, man, I just want a weekend to chill. I was getting ready to complain, and I felt the Holy Spirit check me in a moment. Are you getting ready to complain? Did you not ask me for momentum? You caught me, Lord. You caught me. I had to fix my heart and adjust. But for me, 2018 was a year of momentum. And see, God works in seasons. He put that way that he works even into nature. When we look at nature, we go through seasons. Summer is a season. There are things that happen in nature in summer. Winter is a season. Things begin to shut down in the winter. Spring is the budding of a new season. And so we're familiar with the seasons and the natural. But what we need to understand is that God also works in seasons in your life. You have a lifelong plan. You have an assignment on the earth to fulfill. And it's not going to happen the moment you're born and the moment, you know, you graduate from high school. It's a continual process so that you could fulfill the call. So that when you stand before him one day, he could say to you, your lifelong assignment, good job. Well done. You fulfilled it. That's why every season God shows up to say, well done in that season. Now in this season, here's what I'm doing in your life. Be ready to run, because this is going to be the next level of that so that you can fulfill your assignment. So it is healthy at the end of every year, entering into a new year, a new season, that we begin to ask the Lord, show me what's up ahead for me. What do you have for me? what's in store for me. It's a healthy practice to have. And I remember in 2017, I can't believe how time is flying. I remember in 2017, I was looking ahead and asking God to show me how to prepare for this upcoming year, 2018. And what I found is, see, God will do personal work in each and every one of us. That's different. It's unique to you, to your life, to your life call. But there are things also that God does for all of us, corporately, as a body in a given season. And I want to tell you what you should have seen in 2018. Because this is what God was doing in your life in 2018. Just look back and connect the dots. Because 2018 was a season when I was asking the Lord to show me what was that year about. The Lord began to show me that 2018 was a season of the reset button. Many of you were given an opportunity to hit reset. Things got off the rails. Things needed to be improved. Things weren't working the way they should have. And God gave you grace in the year of 2018 to hit a reset button and start again. Many ministries, many ministers that I know were given the grace and the opportunity to correct certain mistakes and start fresh. 2018 was a reset year. 2018 was a time to receive fresh vision for that year. 2018 was also one of the things I saw God highlighting across the body of Christ was that it's time to learn how to do team ministry well. Nobody's called to be a lone ranger. We're all called to work together. So if this is going to happen correctly, we need to learn how to play nice. We need to learn how to love and tolerate one another, work with one another, and have patience with one another. And I found that God was highlighting that message to the body in 2018 in a special, special way. And usually we go through that lesson when someone gets on our last nerves. And God says to us, that's why that's happening. I'm teaching you how to give grace. And 2018 was a year of great new opportunities. How many of you would say a great opportunity presented itself to you last year? Many of us received new, wonderful opportunities that we've been waiting and praying for. Now I want to talk to you about this year. As the year was ending last year, I was just asking the Lord. I said, God, what do you have for what's up ahead? And the Lord, in an experience that I had with him, he began to speak to me and show me some things that I want to put on your radar prophetically so that you are ready to run with God and participate with God. And let me tell you, during worship, that word was being confirmed. As I was in worship there, I saw this huge pool, like a pool of Bethesda here, and the waters were stirring. I said, wow, God is healing here tonight. Those of you who are having some marriage problems, I want to tell you right now, God is working on that. This is the year where God wants to bring restoration to marriages. So if you've been really pressing and saying, God, you have to do something, there's a grace this year to be healed. And I also saw a special deliverance for people who are struggling with cigarettes. There's a deliverance from the spirit of nicotine. It's a spirit. I saw that here tonight during worship. So it's already begun. But I want to put some other things on your radar tonight. So here I was asking God, Lord, what's up ahead? Show me what's next for 2019. And God gave me this deep, profound experience. And he spoke to me two words that shook me to the core. And I want to share that with you tonight. How many of you are ready to receive? You ready for this? Because when he told me, I was like, it blew me back. I said, really? I heard a voice booming from heaven. And I heard the Lord say two words. And what he said was, grow up. Grow up. We are entering into a season where the grace of God has been there. God has been patient. God has been loving. He's been kind. All those wonderful things that he is. But I felt like he's now bringing us into a time of putting us in a place where we need to be accountable for growing up. He's not putting a stamp of approval on our immaturities because we want to stay immature. Man, I felt challenged when he told me that. I said, wait, you're telling me that or the body? He was like, I'm telling you and the body. We have to grow up. We have to mature quickly. because 2018 was the year of great opportunities, and many of us got great opportunities. But unfortunately, with those opportunities, we need maturity. In order to give the Lord so that the Lord is honored in all that we do, we need maturity. And unfortunately, many want to hang on to their issues. You're either going to move forward into the fullness of your call, or you're going to allow those issues to steal from you and keep you living subpar, living less than your full potential. Who has time for that? Time is flying. I have a friend, a minister friend, who's a prophet out in Arizona. We connected. God connected us supernaturally. And I brought him in from Arizona one time. He did a conference for us, an amazing man of God. And I heard the plans of his heart. He was saying, I'm planning on doing this and that and the other. And I was excited for him, and that was great. And I found out the other day, just boom, gone. He's with the Lord. It shocked everyone. He was a great man of God, but just suddenly gone. And it made me think, it made me realize how time is flying by. We don't know. So with the time that we do have, it's time to mature. It's time to be intentional. You have an assignment that needs to be fulfilled. Why waste time? It's a grow-up year. It's time to study emotional intelligence. We need to be healthy emotionally. We need financial intelligence. We need spiritual intelligence. To know how to discern properly, to know how to hear the voice of God, to know how to flow in the anointing. We need to invest in that and learn how to be mature. Those of you who've gone through traumatic situations, I understand those are rough, those are tough, but there's healing in Christ. It's time to get healed from your trauma. Let's give up the trauma drama. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's counseling. God will use various methods to get us to a place where we are now healthy and whole. I'll tell you, I work with leaders. I work with leaders in fivefold ministry, and there's nothing more frustrating than the same people with the same issue. It's not that we don't love you, but sometimes you want to go, listen, I've heard it before. Grow up. As we're maturing and growing up this year, the Lord began to speak to me out of Mark. I want to read this to you quickly. We know this verse. It says, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart. How many of you do that? You love God with all your heart. You should love the Lord with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's how much we should love the Lord. The second commandment is this. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus saying, there's no greater commandment than these. We love God. We love ourselves so that we can love others. The problem is we try to pretend to love others. We don't know how to give love. We don't know how to receive love because we've been broken. We've gone through trauma. We've gone through so many different things. People have been abused. People have been taken advantage of. So many different things. I understand it. It's a broken world. I get that. But there's healing in Jesus. It's time to be whole. And part of being whole is loving God with all our hearts, but then loving who God made you to be. Everything flows out of your identity. When I was growing up, my brothers, they're athletic stars. My mom had a trophy case. My brother Carlos and my brother Louis, they won trophies in every sport. Basketball, baseball. What was the other one? There was another one. My sister won every spelling bee. She had spelling bee trophies. I didn't have any. And I felt so insecure around them. I remember thinking, I want a trophy. So my mom signed me up for basketball to join a team. And I went to school. I was so excited. I was going to join a basketball team, and I was going to learn how to play basketball, and maybe I was going to get a trophy. And when I got there, I sat in the gym for an hour. Nobody showed up, not even the coach. There was my basketball career. So I always hated that I wasn't accomplished. My siblings were, I wasn't. And that put an insecurity about me that I hated. And there were things about myself that I hated. And I would look at myself and say, you're a loser. And it took the Lord time. I mean, there were attitudes that I had stuffed in my heart. So now I get saved, and I thought I dealt with that. Jesus saved me, hallelujah, I'm doing great. I didn't know I had self-hatred. And the Lord would say to me, when are you going to let me deal with that? And I would have dreams and I would have encounters with God where he was constantly, he wouldn't leave me alone about it. He says, you can only be as effective as you are whole in your soul. We will only prosper based on the health of your soul. Oh, I had to start getting the word. I had to start applying. I had to start looking at that handsome man in the mirror and going, you have a purpose. You have a plan. God loves you. He's got great things in store for you. When people come to me for advice, they're like, you don't know. You don't understand. It's just that, I went through this and that, and I feel like I was like, you think I don't know? I've gone through self-hate myself. I understand that. But we must get in the season, in our maturity, in our getting maturity this year, we must ask the Lord to heal us so that we can begin to see who he created us to be. And when you start getting a glimpse of who he created you to be, you need to love who you are. I met Jesus after I tried to commit suicide when I was about 15 years old. Thank God it failed. I had a praying mom. But it all came out of that self-hate. So Jesus had some work to do in my life, and he did it. He continues to do it. And you know what? It's so interesting. I come to find out, I don't want to play basketball. God bless you, those of you who play basketball. I tried it once or twice. I got elbows in my elbowed in the face. I quit. I don't need to play basketball. It's okay. So God began to show me who I am. And he began to show me what I enjoy. And now I can rejoice for them. You know, I actually picked up playing tennis. I showed my brothers, and they beat me at my own sport. They're that good. I was like, ugh. But that's okay. I enjoy time with them, but I really enjoy studying. I enjoy researching. I enjoy getting, I can get lost in research. I mean, that's just who God created. That is fun for me. And when I am, and when I do the things that God created Hector to do and Hector to be, and when I'm myself, God is honored. Because I'm loving who he created me to be. So when you play sports and you love playing sports, play sports and honor God with it. So long as we're in balance, honor God with it. That's who he created you to be. You enjoy reading, read to your heart's content. So long as everything is healthy and in balance, God gets glory from that because you're enjoying who he made you to be. This is the year. God wants to heal you so that you can begin to love who you are. If you don't love you, how can you love your neighbor? If you can't give love to yourself, how can you give love to someone else? If you don't love yourself, how can you receive love from someone else? And the problem is we're trying to get married so that our spouse can fix us and give us all the love and the security and everything we need. They're not meant to do that. We're bringing unnecessary burdens on our spouse. It's time for us to grow up. The truth of the matter is we need to love ourselves. We need to ask God for a revelation of his love for us, how he created us. That's why suicide is so bad. It's so terrible. That spirit that gets people to take their lives because it breaks the heart of God. That's an expression of God on the earth through an individual that no one else can fill. No one else can fill your life. No one else can live your space. No one else can express God on the earth like you. That's why we need you to be you. The kingdom of God needs you to be you. And you can't be you unless you truly love who you are. Jesus said it. We love God. We love ourselves. And according to how we love ourselves, we love our neighbor. I'm not saying be arrogant, be prideful. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying love yourself. What I'm not saying is don't honor yourself. Don't boast about yourself. There's a verse in Romans 12:10 that says, be devoted to one another and honor one another above yourselves. You have to love each other, but let others honor you. Let others praise you. Don't praise yourself. But love yourself and honor others and make sure that others are being blessed. If you love yourself, you'll invest in your future because you're important. You'll invest in yourself. Because you're important. If you love yourself, here we go. Pastor Ryan said I could preach here. If you love yourself, you're going to eat a healthy diet. Or ask the Lord to give you an eating plan that's going to work for you. You're going to take care of yourself. If you love yourself, you're going to continually choose a healthy marriage. You're not going to sabotage it. If you love yourself, you will speak kindly to yourself and about yourself. How about that? How many times you've caught yourself saying, I'm always so... We must speak kindly about ourselves. I have this thing that I love doing. It's called self-prophecy. I prophesy over that man in the mirror. If I can pour out words to everyone else, if I can minister to everyone else, why shouldn't that man that I see in the mirror, why shouldn't he have a time of ministry? He needs it. You know, you can minister to yourself the word of God. You know, you can do that. So I get in the mirror many times. I'm like, oh, there's a word for you, brother. Put a little oil in my hand, put it in the mirror, and be like, oh, for the Lord says to minister to that handsome man in the mirror. If you love yourself, you won't let anything else control you. You won't let anything control you or take you out of being in self-control or take you out of being led by the Holy Spirit. You won't let substances, people, relationships control you. If you really love yourself, your only goal is to let the Holy Spirit lead you. Nothing else should have a hold on you. It's like when, you know how many, I have a friend that says to me, every time I see him, God keeps telling me to give up sugar. And then, you know, as we keep talking, we're eating lunch or something, he's ordering a cola. And I'm watching, he's just like, yeah, he goes, every time I have sugar, he goes, I start coughing like this, and he's coughing. God tells me to get rid of it. Can I have a refill? And I'm like, brother, it's time to let go of the sugar. It's not good for you. If you love yourself, you remove the stresses and the clutter that make your life difficult. You'll pursue healing continually. You'll pursue deliverance continually. Barbie and I do something with the people that we trust regularly because we're on the front lines. Sometimes you get hit with stuff. In order to be healthy and whole, regularly we sit with our leaders that we trust and we say, go for it. Whatever you see, cut it off in Jesus' name. Pull out any arrow that you see. Pull it out. Because we get hit with stuff and sometimes we don't know it. So we will pursue healing and deliverance regularly. And here's another one. If you love yourself, if you really love yourself, you'll make sure you rest well. God bless you. Have a good night. Make sure you rest well. Rest at night well. I wrote an article for people all the time tell me, Brother Hector, I want to learn how to hear from God in dreams and all that. Well, the first step to hear from God in dreams is you have to sleep. I wrote an article, not about how to hear from God in dreams, how to get to sleep. Because to dream, you have to get into REM phase. To get into REM phase, you have to be a... We have to learn how to sleep and sleep well. Sleep is a gift from God. And not only sleep, but we need to know how to unplug and rest. That's why Jesus got away regularly on the mountaintop and prayed throughout the night. If you love yourself, you will practice rest. If you love yourself, you will practice, even when there's a problem, striving and worrying, that's not going to do any good for you. It's giving it to God and resting from that. You will practice that, and God will be honored. Here's another one. Ephesians 4, 29 through 30. Listen to this. Let no unwholesome words proceed from your mouth, but only such word that's good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. When I read that verse, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, see that? Your communication should give grace to those who are listening. And you know who's listening all the time when we're talking? We are. Your words should give grace to yourself. Then the next verse after that is do not grieve the Holy Spirit. God wants you to bless yourself. Speak life over yourself. To speak encouraging words. To speak the word over yourself rather than speaking putrid filth that comes from demonic atmospheres. 2019, a year where God is putting his finger on the area of immaturity. And he's saying, he wants to take this gospel to the nations and the world through us. And in order for us to be ready to run with the gospel into the nations, he wants mature vessels. He doesn't want us to go to another nation and then have attitude problems with everyone over there. He wants us to represent him well. 2019, the Lord showed me a vision while I was praying. He showed me this huge pomegranate. I said, whoa, what's that? He said, it's the year of the pomegranate. I said, pomegranate? What does that mean? And he didn't answer. When he doesn't answer, that means it's going to come. So I just stayed praying and in expectation. And without my daughters, I didn't communicate this to anyone. My daughter Alyssa went and bought a big pomegranate and put it on the counter. So every day I'm walking by and that fruit is prophesying to me. I don't know what you mean, but I know there's revelation for me in that. And I'm looking at that pomegranate and the Lord said, it's the year of the pomegranate. Now, finally, one day on YouTube, I came across this video where this guy says, you've all been opening the pomegranate incorrectly. I'm going to show you how to open it the right way. So he cut the top, he cuts the bottom, he did some markings on the side, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, he gets a bowl, he opens it up, and it unfolds, and he taps it, and the seeds spill out. Now, did anybody know how to do that? God bless you. One out of all of us. When I saw that, I thought, that's how you open it. I just thought, you hack at it. That's what I do. Hack. Juice everywhere, you know, but hack. And when I saw that video, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, this is the year. See, I've brought my children great opportunities. I'm opening big doors before my children. But many of my children are taking those opportunities and they're hacking at it. Like the pomegranate. They're just cracking it open however they can get it open. And they're not getting the most out of the opportunity that I'm giving them. This is the year for asking God for wisdom. The pomegranate represents wisdom, getting the most out of every opportunity. And we're only going to do that through a spirit of wisdom, which is why Paul said, I pray for you that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. God will show us and give us revelation and opportunities, but if we don't have wisdom, we'll hack at it. How many opportunities has God brought us and we've messed it up? It didn't last long. It wasn't sustained. It's because it lacked wisdom. As I continue to research the pomegranate, did you know that even Solomon had the pomegranates etched into the columns of the temple? Solomon, the wisest king apart from Jesus, representing wisdom. And the Lord began to show me how the pomegranate represents really fruitfulness that comes from wisdom. In the midst of all that, I kid you not, this is all prophetic. I didn't plan any of this. I opened up my Bible one morning. I was up about 3 a.m. and I'm doing some research. And I'm in the book of Proverbs. And it's like I was taken into the book of Proverbs. I'm all of a sudden, I can't describe it, but it was just like I was in the book of Proverbs. And I'm reading and I'm just gone in the book of Proverbs. And I'm watching this figure yelling out in the streets. And she was saying, my name is Wisdom. And I'm looking for the foolish. I'm looking for those that mess up all the time. I'm looking for those that always say, I always go from bad to worse. Wisdom was crying out saying, I was created by God for you to help you. Don't cry out for riches. Don't cry out for any of those other things. Cry out for me. I can help you. All that other stuff comes with me. When I saw that, it blew me back. And I thought about all the different times I've been asking God, Lord, I need more provision. I need more of this. Asking God for things he already gave me. Those things are already yours before the foundation of the world. God's already provided that for you. But even when God brings those things forth, we mess it up because we lack wisdom. So in this season, in this year, God wants to encourage us. Ask God for a spirit of wisdom to accompany every opportunity he gives you so you can get the most out of it and God can be glorified through all that we do. Does that make sense? The pomegranate, go figure. I promise you, you're going to leave here tonight and you're going to see pomegranates. It's going to prophesy to you. So my daughter didn't know that I was going to speak on this, so she bought that pomegranate. And one day, the day I was going to go speak somewhere about that, she decides to hack the thing open, and I'm watching her. And there's juice everywhere, and I was going, okay, and the Holy Spirit's talking to me, going, see, that's how my children access many of my opportunities. They don't ask me how to do it. So there's juice everywhere, and I'm watching her try to clean up, and I'm like, okay. Then I'm leaving to go drive to the place, and I put on my shades. And every time I dream with shades or glasses, it's always talking about vision. So I put on my shades to go drive, pomegranate juice all over. I'm like, what did she? She killed the fruit. You know, just and I, you know, and it, for but I always look at those things prophetically. And I was like, Lord, I'm going to leave that there. I'm not even going to wipe it off. It's remember to have in my vision that I want to be. I want fruitfulness that comes from wisdom this year. A few more things I want to give you, and then we're going to close out. This is the year. Now, listen carefully. Those of you who have some great ideas, some of you have ministry ideas, some of you have good business ideas, some of you have a creativity sitting in you, and there are people that will tell you all this creativity, and then when you look back 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, they haven't done a thing. It's the time for you. This is the season where God's going to work with you to get you moving. Because it's time for you to stop sitting on those million-dollar ideas you're sitting on. What good is for God to give you all that creativity and all that flow and you're just sitting on it? It's time to take action. So I want to let you know that. And finally, 2020 is a year where the Lord already began to speak to me. I want to give my children 2020 vision. I want to give them clarity of where they're going. So 18 was a time, it was a season where God was giving us momentum and advancement. This is a year where God's asking us, telling us to ask him for wisdom so we can make the most out of every opportunity. But by 2020, I believe there's a new momentum that's coming upon us, a new acceleration that God wants to put on your life. But that won't happen if we don't do what we need to do this year. We need to let God help us mature, get delivered, get free of our issues so that we could be ready to run with him in this new year. I'm going to leave you with this final dream that I had. So as I was putting all this together, I had this dream that I was standing in this arena and I was preaching about the new year approaching. And in this dream, I was on one leg in a position with a microphone preaching for the whole sermon. I was like this. So the whole time I'm just preaching like that, and I was concluding and saying, now, in conclusion, the Lord says in 2019, and I went, I'm correcting your imbalances. So believe me when I tell you that God is going to show up this year and begin to bring some correction. Because there have been some imbalances that are hurting you. So God wants to help you put things in balance. The word for this year is freedom, wholeness, balance, maturity, wisdom, preparation for advancement. Can we get an amen on that? So, Father, we just thank you for all that you've said, all that you're releasing into our lives. Those of you who receive it, raise your hands right to heaven. Father, we just receive this word. We have to respond to this word. So, Father, you see every heart in this place. Lord, I spoke the word that you gave me, and now, Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would lead us in what to do. I ask for a spirit of wisdom to fall on this place. Every heart in this place. I thank you for guidance for every heart in this place. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a year to do better. We thank you for it. We believe you for it in Jesus' name. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I really have a prophetic sense. When I talked about grow up and mature, some of you need to make a phone call and apologize. Don't let the season go by. If you were wrong, God is saying to you, I expect you to grow up. I expect you to grow up and own up. Apologize. Make it right. Do what's in your power to make things right. And if you have a heart to do that, God will meet you there. And there will be no limit for you. You will go to a level and with an acceleration you've never known before. We must humble ourselves and walk in that place that we can quickly and easily say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toes, didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry. I started this year with a friend of mine who I was providing prophetic oversight for him and his church, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, we met, and before you know it, all these things came spilling out. I was like, what? I felt like, you weren't there for me. And I was like, excuse, it blew my mind. And I had a decision right then and there. I can be offended at this, or I can just do what God's been telling me to do and just grow up quickly. Somehow, he was hurt. And I said, that wasn't my intention. I'm sorry. I'm truly, truly sorry. So we left there with an embrace because I had it in my power to do something to make it right. It's time to grow up. Some of you, do not let the season go by without making it right and maturing. Now, those of you who are ready to go to the next level, I don't have a lot of time tonight to speak prophetically over many of you and all that stuff, but I do want to do a corporate prayer, and I want to make an invitation tonight to come to the forefront. I saw the Lord standing here during worship. The pool was spinning, and he was just kind of walking back and forth. And I had a sense that he's calling some of you to come forth tonight, those of you who feel this call, you've been struggling with how to get things done. You feel like you've even been struggling with, the opposite of a spirit of wisdom is foolishness. And it's time to stop doing things foolishly. God says, let's do this the right way. If it's been tough, I'm not calling anyone a fool tonight. Understand that. This is not, hey, if you've been a fool, come on up. No, that's not what I'm saying. But if you're believing God for a greater impartation of wisdom, come up here tonight now. The Lord's going to meet you here tonight now. Come in faith. Don't come by anything else. He's going to do something here tonight now. There's an exchange waiting for you here tonight now. You've all kind of entered into this cloud, the Shekinah glory cloud that's here. The Lord sees your heart. He sees what you've been through. He sees what you're going through. He sees the struggles. He sees the area where you've been burned out. Just wait a moment. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for everyone up here. Lord, a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him to walk in new levels and in new ways, Lord, that they will never be where they were before. We thank you for a breakthrough and a breaking out of every single individual in this place in Jesus' name. It's time to do things God's way, and the Lord is with you to break you into that place. Amen. Aaron, I just see white horses running around you. I hear the Lord saying you're going to run and run. This time you will not grow weary. You will not faint. You're going to run with the horses. You're going to run with a new momentum. You're going to run with a new vision. And it will not be something that turns around and bites you, but it will be something that will last for the long haul. I just see like God just bringing you, preserving you, saying you will go and you will go and you will do the things that I've called you to do. And I will keep you. I will keep your strength. God says you will not run out. You will continue to flow in new ways. We declare it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brother, I don't know who you are. What's your name? Clint. Father, I thank you for Clint. Brother, I see the hand of God. I see their gears beginning to move in your life. So there's been areas where it's just been standing still. It's like God just reached into your heart and started causing these gears to begin to move. There's a clicking, things beginning to connect within you, that God is so involved in your life and preparing you for a greater thing up ahead. So get ready for the discipling of the Lord. God's going to disciple you to a greater measure. He's going to prepare you in a greater measure, and you're entering into the school of the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord just wash over you for a moment. And what I see right now, let me tell you what I'm seeing in the Spirit. I'm seeing many like casts, arm casts, neck braces. I'm seeing things beginning to fall off in the Spirit. There have been hindrances hanging on you, holding you back from full movement, full momentum. And tonight God says, I'm removing those things and I'm going to put on you the spirit of wisdom to not fall in that same place again. I'm restoring and renewing you. Is that Mark and Cindy? Up here. Father, I thank you for this couple. I thank you for this household. So the Lord says, I'm not going to allow a spirit of death to come upon you and just choke things to a halt. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I just see God unraveling like this heaviness, this heavy mantle that's tried to land on you. And you've looked back and you've said, what have I done? Have I done this? Or Lord, is it right or wrong? So many questions around you. But I hear God saying, son, just rest. Peace, be still. I'm meeting you in this season and I'm removing this heaviness that's tried to land on you. God says, you are going to emerge once again. You're going to rise and move to a level that you've desired. You will not be held back. And I am with you, says the Lord. So understand that, no, you've not done anything wrong. You've not made a wrong turn. I just see the Lord with the two of you, standing with you. I've never left. I'm here with you. And God's bringing the answers that you need in this season and a healing from the past. There's a healing from the past. Things have just been the same for way too long. There's a healing from the past. And God says, you will move forward free from that situation in Jesus' name. Church, are we free this year? Are we walking in freedom? Let's say amen. Praise the Lord.
Come on, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Aren't you been blessed tonight? I said, haven't you been blessed tonight? Amen. I'm going to ask Hector to stay down here just a couple minutes if you want to come down, you want some prayer, I'll be down here. We're so thankful that you came tonight, Brother Hector, and don't miss this Sunday. My dad said he's got really feels like the Lord laid something on his heart for this Sunday, so we encourage you to be here 8:30, 10 a.m. here or noon at St. Anthony's. We love you. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Cold night. I get it. It's a cold night. Thank you so much for coming out. God bless you.